The pure joy I feel after Eureka, finding keys I'd spent the entire morning looking for, is so euphoric, I hereby vow to lose my keys every Thursday. Okay, now where were we? I can't even ring the bell, it's been so long. Oh, that's right, it was me always complaining about never making any money. Here's some breaking news that might be changing. First, I've hinted at some projects that are paying solid money that are coming to fruition. One is legacy books. You'll hear more about this later in the spring, but I've spent the last 6 months working on a book that is a homage to a family patriarch who is a great American success story. His widow is eager to have a testimony for all this beloved man stood for, and she asked me to do it. The pay is swell, the work satisfying. Who could ask for anything more? Who do you think? Rather than concentrating on finding more opportunities like this, I remain laser-focused on succeeding on my own terms. I won't consider myself a success until I can point to steady or garish income from the stuff I've been spending the last 33 years peddling. The ultimate in that would be the satiric novel I was sure would lead to fame and fortune. It's The Last Baby Boomer, the story of the ultimate ghoul pool. Brian O'Neill, for 37 years and an award-winning columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, wrote about the book in 2018 when I self-published it. And he gushed, and gushed, and gushed, and gushed. He's still gushing, although now his gushing might lead to something tangible. He proposed we write a screenplay. It's something others have suggested. I turned these suggestions down, believing I wasn't interested in a redundant failure in some other realm. And I was sure the book would one day sell. It hasn't. Plus, I was never comfortable with the idea of turning my novel into a screenplay. I didn't know how to do it, and asking me to turn a boat into a car. But Brian so believes in the book, he and his daughter, Curran, hammered out the first 10 pages, and then Brian and I began to dig in. I'd forgotten just how good this book is, and I'm grateful Brian has kept the flame flickering, for now. The other potentially good news item involves the 10th anniversary of the 25th September, excuse me, let me start again. The other potentially good news item involves the 10th anniversary of the September 25th death of Arnold Palmer. Thinking is now that it'd be the perfect time to do a web documentary based on, ta-da, my Arnold Palmer book. I see myself filling the shoes Shelby Foote filled in the seminal Ken Burns Civil War documentary. And let's not bother following up on the obvious tribute of a man named Foote being cited for filling a shoe. I'm Chris Rodell, and I've been thinking. Have you heard? I've been thinking is my newest get-rich-quick scheme. Well, it's really not a scheme. I was trying to figure out ways to make money and entertain readers with something that's useful, funny, and I have in spades. I've been thinking does all three of those. Plus, it's simple. Check it out on YouTube or on Facebook and Instagram. My pitch is give me 60 seconds and I'll give you 5 shots of thinking so original it'll turbocharge your creativity for the rest of the year. See, I'm thinking in buzzwords. I'm hopeful that event planners will see this and bring me in to entertain their associates with my humor, and we'll all live happily ever after. Here's an audio sample. Picture in your mind every time the POV changes. I'm wearing different clothes, my haircut's different. In some cases, I'll have a full beard, and the next instant have just half a mustache. And the background changes, too. It might be snowing in one shot, and in the next, I'll be wearing a beachwear. See what you think.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I've been thinking. You ought to try it sometime. The dark side of the moon. Our best experts have no idea what's really there. I think it'd be cool if one day they figure out how to illuminate the dark side and discover a vast campus full of Earthlings who've been to outer space, extraterrestrials who've been from all over the universe to visit Earth, and that together, these diverse peoples are seeking ways to better the planet, philosophy, science, education. I think that'd be great for mankind, for the future of mankind. Oh, and just to give people something to talk about, let's make it clothing optional. If Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 were written to conform to current tastes, today that passage would read, "And give us this day our daily bacon." I don't believe in love at first sight, but some days I'll be walking down the street and I'll see a guy and we'll make eye contact and I'll know, in my heart, yeah, someday we're going to be drinking buddies. Try and do something each and every day that'll ensure parking at your funeral will be a real bitch. I'm Chris, and I've been thinking.
Visually was with the dark side of the moon thing, I ended it with my shirt off. I just cut to it with me and my shirt off, which was very bold. But I think it was better than I thought it would, so I'm going to play another one of them later on. But I wonder about get-rich-quick schemes I launched in the 1990s that still haven't earned a dime. So they weren't getting me rich, and it certainly wasn't quick. A story about the pitfalls of buying your girlfriend snappy new breasts. I pay no attention to either of the $4,000 boobs as they sashay into the bar, nor to the girl to whom they've been surgically attached. As I've said before, I'm not a boob man. I'm an ass man. I drink in a bar with about a dozen other asses just like me. But lots of them are regular Joes. But lots of the other regular Joes notice them. I'm going to start that again. But lots of the regular Joes notice them. Sorry for all the distractions. But lots of the regular Joes notice them, including one of the regular Joes who's sitting to my right and is conveniently named Joe. Oh, here she comes, he says contemptuously. Do you know he paid $8,000 to get her those breast implants? Can you believe it? No, I can't believe it. It seems excessive, like ordering a new car with bigger, brighter headlights, when the ones that come installed from the factory are sufficient in illuminating any darkened roads. And I'm confused about the etiquette of the gesture. How does that offer arise? Did he say he wouldn't have anything to do with her unless she bumped up two or three cups? I'd be hurt if my wife said I was deficient in physical area and that she'd spend $8,000 to extend the length of my, let's say, nose. The girl seems perfectly pleasant. I don't know what would have been wrong with her and her old breasts. I doubt they were square or made funny corduroy noises when she was walking around braless. In fact, the old breasts that the 50-something guy was concerned about probably weren't even on this 30-something girl. The old breasts were probably on the ex-wife. That's fairly common. Many middle-aged men leave perfectly good wives for younger women who are bound to cause the same consternations that come with any matrimonial binding of the sexes. I don't see that happening to me. I love my wife, and besides, I wouldn't want to have to go through life explaining things like Bob Dylan to someone all over again. But there's no denying we live in a breast-obsessed society. In truth, I'm always more interested in the guy who bought the breasts than the girl who's accessorizing with them. I have a lot of questions I'd like to ask him. I'd like to know how you wrap breast implants that you intend to give as a gift. Do you put them both in the same box? Really, a box with one implant would likely spoil the surprise as to what's in the second box, wouldn't it? And do you go to the operating room with the recipient during the installation? It would have been like reverse of being in a delivery room when you're out delivered twins. But my observations lead me to believe he's a tremendous jerk, and I already have my quota of them in my life. See, I've been a convivial person most of my whole life, and I've always gone to all the places where other convivial people go. I've never seen this guy before, and now he and his $80,000 breasts are everywhere. That would be fine, but he's causing trouble in places where I seek sudsy serenity. First, I saw him being rude to a waitress at one local tavern. Already overwhelmed with customers, he summoned her by her name, Kara, raising his glass and rattling the ice the way pet owners rattle keys to summon dawdling dogs. To me, right there, that's a hell-worthy sin. And hell's going to be mighty crowded if I ever get to decide who belongs there. She's a professional. She'll get there. Then he went beyond the pale by coming into my home bar and stirring up trouble on a recent Friday afternoon. And it was all over a bar stool. The breast sat down one where the guy's wife had been sitting. A joke was made. It wasn't even funny. Then all of a sudden, my happy hour turned into a wildlife special. The breast buyer rose up like a fighting rooster, cock, if you will, and said the remark was an affront to his fair damsel. The men had to be separated. It was all incredibly immature. And that's coming from a guy who sometimes wears big Wookiee pajamas to work. I kind of feel sorry for the girl because now it looks like he owns more of her than just the $8,000 breasts. All I can surmise is they must have been having a special that day on boobs with the day she got hers. He paid for two big ones and she wound up stuck with three. A demonic being who seeks to deliver the souls of all humanity to Satan is in the Antichrist. A sweet old babe adored by nieces and nephews who seek two cubes of sugar for high tea is the Antichrist. Here's a joke for you. Took me a lot of rewrites for this. but I think it turned out pretty funny. It's not something I'm proud of, but there's been a time or two when my drinking transgressions were so egregious, bar employees have felt justified in giving me the old heave-ho. I'll never forget the elderly bar prostitute's mocking cackle. I went back a few years ago. They all remembered me. Said if I didn't behave, they'd slip something in my drink that would cause me to be violently ill as soon as I left the bar. And that's what they call the new heave-ho. Just then, Achy Breaky Heart came on the jukebox, and the old bar whore jumped up on the table and started dancing. They yelled at her to get her ass off the effing table, but she wouldn't listen. Well, you can guess what happened next. I saw them put something in her drink and just wait for the song to end. Me, I got the hell out of there. I didn't want to stick around to see the old ho heave. I'm going to repeat that. I got the hell out of there. I didn't want to stick around to see the old ho heave. I was all set to read an article about the warning signs that one is a raging narcissist, but hit delete, delete, delete the instant I realized the article was not about me.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I've been thinking. You ought to try it sometime. Try and do at least one thing a week that'll blow back your hair and let you scream, "Wee!" Strive to be so at peace with the world. The only thing you have left to get off your chest are your nipples. Still there. Make taking the high road such a habit that along the way confused strangers will ask you for directions. Looking in the mirror as soon as you wake up is a sure way to ruin your psyche for the whole day. Me, I try not to look until I've had at least 3 beers. The season of giving is over. Now it's the season of taking. We'll take Venezuela. We'll take Greenland. We'll take Mexico. I'll take Xanax. Wake me when it's over. Whee!
This one was inspired by our youngest daughter. She knew I was home alone and came to visit me from college, and it just was a beautiful surprise. And it made me write the line, "Those who go out of their ways to make others feel special are the ones who become special." Studies show 70% of Americans don't get enough sleep. I question the study's validity. How do they find researchers capable of staying awake long enough to secure the finding? Put me in a room and tell me to study a sleeping man, and guaranteed I'll be sound asleep in 2 minutes. I'd like to see a sleep study about the sleeping habits of people who conduct sleep studies. The generation that used to puff pot to feel groovy now pops pills that leave them feeling depressed, incontinent, incapable of achieving erections, suicidal, prone to hallucinations, etc. What's groovy about that? There's a pill for every problem. And that's far out, man. Dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum.
Hi, I'm Chris. And I've been thinking. So you don't have to. I'm not saying that the local volunteers join the fire department for purely social reasons. I'm sure it's just a coincidence that every Friday at 5 o'clock, the local whorehouse catches on fire. We live in an era where people who profess to know all the answers are usually the same ones who ask none of the questions. Feeling like you're at home no matter where you lay your head is one of life's most soulful blessings. Being friends with too many people who feel like that is one of life's most exasperating curses. NASA continues to scan the cosmos for evidence of planets with life-sustaining water. Life-sustaining? I'm not going anywhere until you find me a planet with life-sustaining pizza. Calling our mortal passages the circle of life is cruelly misleading. In any life, there's going to be starts, stops, wicked turns, right angles, left angles, and completely lines that go off the map. It's more like the trapezoid of life. Thanks for watching. I'm Chris, and I've been thinking.
Thanks for listening. I'm going to try and do things to make this more regular. I enjoy doing the podcast and appreciate your feedback. Let me know if you want to hear more of those little 60 second outtakes from the I've been thinking podcast or whatever it is. Have a great day.